Heavenly Father, we feel the truth of this line from Isaiah 40. Even young people shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. We relate to that in these bodies that are breaking down, in this world that is afflicted by sin and suffering. And yet we hold fast to the promise in verse 31. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. And we know that that renewal comes not from our strength, but from your strength, your power inside of us. And we know your power is made perfect in our weakness. So you prefer it when we realize how weak we are, how very much we need you. And so we can rejoice in our sufferings because we know you are shaping us to be more like you. We can see your hand conforming us more and more to the image of your Son. So we hold fast to you, looking to that day when we will mount up with wings like eagles, when we will run and not be weary, when we will walk and not faint. And we know there's an already and not yet in that promise. In one sense, we walk in your Spirit, filled with your power, bringing your glory to the nations, announcing in fulfillment of this promise, behold your God. We are your ambassadors, bringing that in the full power of your Spirit. And yet there's a not yet that we wait for. As we look to the day when you will return, when you will give us new bodies and we will see you face to face, you will remake everything, restore all things to your perfect goodness and glory. And so in the meantime, Lord, strengthen us to wait upon you, to rest upon you. We know that you are good, and that your love endures forever, and we praise you and thank you for that as we commit this new year to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, please stand with me now for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and then 11 through 17. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.' Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. Behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" This is God's word. You may be seated. We're studying the 13 perfections of the Lord Jesus. We started that series at Advent so we could reflect on the incarnation of Jesus and how that manifested for us the love, the hope, the joy, and the peace of our Lord. Obviously, we see that not only in his birth and incarnation, but throughout his life, all of his virtues spread throughout all of his eternal existence, his earthly life, his current session and reign at the Father's right hand. But we started at Christmas time on purpose as a way to fix our hearts and minds on the glory of Jesus. And today we've come, as Terry previewed for us, to that most dreaded of virtues, patience. I think we're all a little bit like Inigo Montoya as he's waiting for the man in black at the top of the cliff. And he says, "I hate waiting." I'll resist the temptation to give you that whole scene. If you're new here, that is a reference to The Princess Bride. Just get used to it. If you want to understand Darren's preaching, you need to know the Bible, The Princess Bride, and then evenly divided between Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, and the MCU. There you go. You will understand me better. But The Princess Bride, it's the most quotable movie of all time. I hate waiting. I think we can relate to that. But truthfully, it's not the waiting, right? We can wait for something if we understand what's happening. There's a certain amount of time that pies need in the oven, right? As we come through the holidays, you don't go and yell at the oven for taking 60 minutes to cook your pie. You understand that's what it takes. Same thing, we celebrated with Matt and Kristen the birth of their child, and that's a celebration. And you don't go and yell at a woman and who's carrying a baby and say, "What's wrong with you? Why is this taking 9 months?" We understand that certain things take time. I'm not a gardener. I know some of you are. But if you plant seeds in the spring, you don't go out and yell at them in frustration for that it takes more than a day to grow. You understand certain things take time. It's not the waiting that bothers us. It's the lack of control, right? This is why patience is most difficult in relationships, because in relationships, we see how little control we have. When someone else is involved, we realize that waiting for change in someone else is a huge challenge, not because of waiting. If we knew, like you think of a physical challenge, a young person breaks a bone, it's typically only 2 or 3 weeks in a cast, and you understand that if you violate that waiting period, there will be long-term damage. And so you accept that because you understand that. But when you're dealing with an illness that you don't understand, or with a pain that doesn't yet have an explanation, that's when, because you have no control, there's no sense, it's the lack of control that makes us struggle. Now we know, obviously, Jesus was perfect in every way. So when it came to patience, he was perfect in patience. The question is, why? Why was Jesus able to wait so perfectly on the Father's timing, not worrying, not stressing, not acting out in negative ways? He was able to wait patiently. Why? The answer is because he was so completely surrendered to the Father's will. He gave up control and trusted in the Father's purposes and plans for him. As we see in Matthew chapter 3, we just heard these words, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." This is John the Baptist, recognized as the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. So Matthew, as Jesus begins his ministry, and Jesus himself intending this with John the Baptist, recognizing him, reminding the Jewish people of Isaiah chapter 40. He says, "You want to understand the beginning of my ministry? Go back to Isaiah chapter 40 and you will see the promises God made at that time 700 years before." What we'll see in Isaiah 40, and then we'll see that it's also in Matthew chapter 3, are three simple reminders about God, truths about God that Jesus held on to that enabled him to be patient. First of all, that God is eternal. Our challenges, though they feel like they last forever, are very temporary. "All flesh is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." The challenge that Israel faced in the time of Isaiah, if you go back to chapter 40 and then just turn back a couple pages to see 36, 37, 38, 39, you'll see that they were surrounded by the Assyrian army. There was a time when Jerusalem itself was surrounded. Now, the northern kingdom had already fallen to the Assyrians. They had captured that northern capital of Samaria. The threat of Israel at that time was a king named Sennacherib. And you can read that story if you'd like to. But it was very tangible. It was very real. It was very practical. They were surrounded by an unstoppable army. No other nation had been able to resist the Assyrians when they had come and attacked. When a certain letter came from Sennacherib threatening and demanding their surrender, Hezekiah the king went to Isaiah the prophet, shared this letter, and together they went to the temple, laid out this letter before the Lord, and cried out to the Lord for help. And in that moment, right before Isaiah 40, you see the fulfillment that God's answer, his immediate answer to this prayer, slaughtering the army of Assyria right before the walls of Jerusalem. And the king had to retreat and go back. And later he was killed by one of his own sons. The flesh, all flesh is grass. He says later in this chapter, that even the rulers of this earth are nothing. They're like a drop in the bucket, like a speck of dust in the desert. Our challenges feel like they last so long, like they are so massive and we can't understand them or overcome them. But the truth is that God alone is eternal. Our challenges are very temporary. The nations are nothing. before him. They are counted by him as less than nothing. Now, as we see that truth from God's word, all nations, that certainly includes our United States of America. That certainly includes your family and mine. It includes each one of us. We are a speck in perspective of eternity, but God is eternal. So let's trust in him. Trust in the God of eternity, the God who, before he spoke the universe into being, envisioned your life, saw you, chose you to belong to him, designed the life that would best shape you and form you into the image of God. Let's trust in our God who is eternal. And then let's remember that God is sufficient, that he is better than anything in this world. Verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh together shall see it. Jesus was, of course, the fulfillment of this promise, that the word became flesh, came to dwell among us. And we've seen his glory, John says in chapter 1. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. The glory of God was revealed. For Jesus' years on earth, his years of ministry. And that promise continues to be fulfilled through you and through me. Through the church of Jesus Christ, as we proclaim the glory of the Lord, as we fulfill Isaiah 40 verse 11 and get up on this mountain and say, behold your God. Not only to the Jewish people who should welcome him, but to all people on earth. We are the fulfillment of this revelation of the glory of the Lord. Now, our struggles to be patient are because we fail to believe the truth that God is better, that he is sufficient for us. The bulk of Isaiah 40 is about the topic of idolatry. And Isaiah spends a lot of time, a lot of ink in his entire book about the problem of idolatry and the foolishness of it, the emptiness of it. He's like, this little statue that you're worshiping, somebody chopped out of wood and then covered with gold and nailed to a thing so it wouldn't fall over. Why would you worship a little statue that a person built? And of course, we are too refined and modern to bow down to little statues and make little shrines. And yet, anything that we love, trust, serve, and obey more than the Lord is an idol in our hearts. Something that we believe we must have and we cannot be happy without, we cannot live without. There's many dangers of idolatry in our own life. Anything that becomes more important to us than God has become an idol in our heart. And this is why we struggle to wait. Because really, we're not content with God alone. We feel like, I need this relief right now. I need this physical reprieve right now. I need this relationship right now. I need children right now, or I need my children to be grown right now, or I need more money, or I need a better job, or I need, and we feel these things so acutely, and our hearts can drift to grab on to anything in this world and begin to believe that that is what we need most, when truthfully, what we need is God alone. This is why, as Austin shared just a minute ago, we can rejoice in our sufferings because we rejoice fundamentally and ultimately in the Lord, believing that he is sufficient and glorious over all things. Here's the way Isaiah says it. What has measured the waters in the hollows of his hand, marked off the heavens with a span? Who taught him the path of justice? To whom will you liken God? An idol? A craftsman casts it to set up an idol that will not move. The Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God is sufficient. He's better than anything in this world. Hold on to this truth. Wait upon the Lord. Trust in him, the God who is eternal, the God who is sufficient. And third, the God who is compassionate. Verse 11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs in his arms. When you struggle to be patient with someone in your life, a husband, a wife, a child, a coworker, when you struggle to be patient with someone because you can't control them, remember how patient God has been with you. When the Bible compares us to sheep, it is not a complimentary comparison. Now, I've been told that sheep are actually quite intelligent, and I can't comment on that personally from experience, more of a dog person than anything. But if the Bible compared us to dogs, that also would not be complimentary. But sheep were much more common in those days, and sheep would wander. They would get stuck in a thorn bush. They would fall over when they're heavy with wool and not even be able to get up. Why does Jesus talk about leaving the 99 to find the one? Because that happened with sheep. They wandered off. They were tremendously vulnerable. They had no ability to protect themselves from predators. They were utterly dependent on the shepherd. My favorite detail about sheep is that they're so consistent that they will walk back. The phrase stuck in a rut comes from shepherding. They will walk back and forth and create a rut that they've eaten all the grass there. Unless the shepherd comes and bumps them to be like, move over there, there's grass over there. They will walk back and forth until they starve. Now, can we relate to this as what do we feed ourselves spiritually, emotionally? Are we not sheep who walk back and forth in the same rut and then realize we're hungry, realize we're missing something, but we need the shepherd to nudge us with his compassion to say, maybe start a new Bible reading plan. Maybe join a community group. Join a discipleship group. There's grass out there to feed your soul, to nourish you. God is so patient with us. When we struggle to be patient with others, just remember how patient God has been with you throughout your entire journey, and let that motivate you to be patient with others. Here's the promise of Isaiah 40. Though they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. There's a promise of power for those who learn to trust and wait on the Lord, to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Our God is eternal. He is sufficient. He is compassionate, holding us close like a shepherd. Now, as we close, let me show you how these three truths are also in Matthew chapter 3. Jesus, as he begins his ministry, reminding everyone, repent. This is the words of John the Baptist. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not an earthly kingdom that will rise and fall, an eternal kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. And John announced it, and then Jesus showed up. The king has come, the king who is eternal, whose kingdom will last forever, who one day we know will come back and establish his kingdom to last for all time. God is eternal. His kingdom has arrived. God is also sufficient. As John resists Jesus and says, I shouldn't baptize you. You should baptize me. Jesus says, no, this is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. Isn't it amazing that Jesus spent 30 years in our reckoning accomplishing nothing? As a carpenter, as a son and a brother, simply caring for his family, living in a backwater town in Israel, he accomplished, the patience of Jesus leading up to this moment and fulfilled in this moment, where even now when John is baptizing him, Jesus is saying, this is the fulfillment of all righteousness. Do we see how there are seasons of our lives when we feel unproductive, when we feel like we have to let our body heal, when we're in a time of learning, in a time of growth, a time of recovery, and we don't feel productive? Let's remember the patience of Jesus as he held on to the sufficiency of his Father, trusted in the Father's timing, and said, what we're doing is fulfilling all righteousness, and that involves patience, waiting for the right time. And finally, God is compassionate. Hear these words of the Father speaking to his Son at his baptism, beginning the ministry of Jesus with this secure identity. This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. As those who belong to God by faith in the Lord Jesus, we too have been adopted into the family of God, and God looks at you and says these words over you. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. Not after you complete 3 years of ministry and die on a cross will you become my son. He says it at the beginning of our relationship with him. He announces that. He speaks that over you in love. This is the compassion, the mercy, and grace of our God. We have so far to go, not only in growing in patience. Next week, come back for self-control, another nice easy one. As we look at all of the perfections of the Lord Jesus, we realize we have an impossible distance to go. We see our weakness and our failings, but the gospel of his grace, his mercy that reaches down, that comes to us in our need, is what propels us to take the next step. So whatever the struggle as you start this new year, whatever the challenge that's in front of you, hold on to the promise of Isaiah 40:31 and wait. Wait on the Lord. The challenge is not the time that passes. The challenge is the surrendering of control. Wait on the Lord. And there's a promise there for all of us. We will renew our strength. We will run again. We will walk again. In fact, Isaiah 40 says we will fly. Heavenly Father, we praise you for these great and precious promises. We hold on to them as we hold on to the truth of who you are, that you are eternal. You are sufficient for all of our needs. You are compassionate as you look at us in our weakness, in our impatience, in our selfishness, even in our idolatry, and yet you call us to yourself. You lift us up as wayward sheep and you hold us in your arms. You anoint us with oil. You feed us and lead us to green pastures and quiet waters. And we pray for that this new year, that we would follow you as our good shepherd, that we would feed our souls on the good nutrients of your word. We would walk closer with your Holy Spirit, that we would feel the fulfillment of this promise, that we would walk and not grow weary. We would run and not be faint, because we are waiting on you, trusting in you, loving you above all things. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.